Well, thank you, guys. Good morning, LifePoint. How are y'all doing this morning? Pretty good. My name is Austin Duke. I'm the preschool and kids minister here at the Riverdale campus. And I do want to just say that it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys this morning, to be able to open the Word in just a few moments with you together. I count it an honor and a privilege to do that with you this morning. And my wife and I, Jessica, many of you know we have three girls. We have Gracelyn, who is 5. She's going to be 6 in February. That's crazy. Danny, we have, who is 4 years old now. And then we have Kinsley, who just turned 1 the day after Christmas. And some of you guys already know our youngest is not going to be our youngest for very long because we're expecting a 4th baby. Yeah. They're coming around June, probably around VBS. We'll have to work that out, see how that goes. But we're going to be praying for that. And so I say that to say my house is loud, okay? And there's lots of movement and things happening in my house. And so I know Zion and Heath have said it. Please don't feel like your kids are a distraction. This is a family service. We want them here with us. And so I want you to feel, I'm totally comfortable with all that. If you hear, or like babies crying or anything like that, I'm used to that, okay? My wife hears that a lot. But in light of a family service, okay, I do want to take a moment, kind of like if you were here for Christmas Eve, and invite the kiddos up. So K through 5th grade, I want to take a moment to read a Bible story to you. We don't have fluffy rugs up here like the kids' area, but this area is open. So K, kindergarten through 5th grade, if you'd like to come up here, you can come up here. I'm going to read this story. We will have some images on the screen for you. And if you're a preschool parent and you want to come down here with your kiddo, that's totally fine. We have some seats open here. Yeah, you guys come on in. This is from the biggest story, storybook Bible. And today, the Bible story that we're going to be reading, y'all come on. Good. Are you guys ready? Y'all ready? Thumbs up if you're ready. Thumbs up? Okay. All right. We're going to be reading a story called Follow the Leader, okay? And this comes from Mark chapter 3. Jesus had people crowding around him all the time. But being popular with crowds is not the same as having committed followers. Some people are curious about Jesus. Some people like to get things from Jesus. Other people really want to follow Jesus. A follower of Jesus is called a disciple. There are millions of them today. Jesus started with 12. One day, early in his ministry, Jesus went up on a mountain and called 12 men to follow him. It wasn't their idea to start a Jesus club. It was Jesus' idea to start a group of disciples. He would be their leader, their teacher, their savior, and their friend. 12 may seem like a funny number. Why not 3 disciples or 10 or 100? Why 12? Was it so they could share a dozen donuts? Or so they could each have one slice of an extra large pizza? Jesus chose 12 disciples because he was forming a new people with himself at the center. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and there would be 12 disciples of Jesus. From now on, to be a part of God's family meant being a follower of Jesus. The 12 disciples were all men, and they were all Jews. They spoke the same language and grew up with many of the same things. They were also very different. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. Peter was bold but made a lot of mistakes. John and James could be hotheads. Andrew liked bringing people to Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. Simon was a revolutionary. That means Matthew worked for the government and Simon didn't like the government. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, could be very blunt. Thomas, who was a twin, would become famous for his doubts. Then there was Philip, who helped Nathanael see Jesus. There were also Thaddeus and another James. Finally, there was Judas, who ended up betraying Jesus. That's 12 men who probably wondered at times if they had anything in common except that they were following Jesus. Jesus named his disciples apostles because they would eventually be sent out to the nations to make new disciples. But for now, Jesus gave them three things to do. They would preach, they would cast out demons, and they would be with Jesus. Or you might say they announced the coming of the snake crusher. They showed the power of the snake crusher, and they spent time with the snake crusher. Not a bad job, with or without pizza. Let's pray. Will you bow your heads with me? Dear Jesus, help us to hear your voice in the Bible, to get up and to follow you. Amen. All right, good job, y'all. Y'all can go to your seats. Mom, Dad, raise a hand if they're having trouble finding you. And as they find their way to their seats, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to get out your copy of God's Word. Flump through it or turn it on. And would you meet me in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, and I'm going to ask that you would stand with me when you're there. So this is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. It says, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. If you are a guest with us today, I do want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. We have spent the past few weeks leading up to Christmas in Advent, in anticipation of the coming Messiah. And Christmas, we remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus, but the story and its importance does not stop with just the birth, right? It is so important to us because of what happened after that. His perfect life, what he said, the things he did, how he died, how he rose, and even where he is now. We're good. We're good. We're good. So now we're on the other side of Christmas, and which is crazy to even think about. This week, in a few days, we're going to be saying goodbye to 2025 and hello to 2026. And it's really hard to believe that a year has gone by that fast. But we're here. And this is the time of year where we get a lot of end of year reviews and recaps. And I don't know about you, but I found out some things about myself when I looked at my music recap for last year. All the kids in the room would be super proud of me and my family because the number one artist on our replay was the one and only Forrest Frank. So the number one song that was played, I discovered, was Your Way's Better by the one and only Forrest Frank. So I am a kids minister, and that is what we listen to. But there are lots of different reviews and different recaps. There's different streaming services that will show you what you watched and the things that you spent time doing. You may have financial reviews that you go through at the end of the year. Many of us, you may have job reviews that you recall the year in your job and the things that you did. And I bet actually your phone will actually compile, at least mine did, will compile all of the photos, which is so many photos, this past year, put them all together and put music behind it and make a slideshow, and you can have a recap of all of the pictures that you took this past year. There's so many things that we take time to recall, to look at, and to review over the past year. And this morning, I want us to ask ourselves, how did we spend our time this year? How did we spend our time this year? If we could see your life's recap in 2025, what would it show us? How did we spend our time this past year? Turn and look with me at verse 14. It says, He appointed 12, whom he named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. All right, so kids, were you listening? How many did he appoint? 12. Good job. Good job. You're with me. All right. So he appointed 12 so that they might be with him. Can you guys say with him? With him. He appointed them so that they might be with him. So the question is, what does it mean to spend time with Jesus, to be with Jesus? I think a good question to ask before we answer that is, what did it look like for his followers? What did it look like for the disciples to be with him, to spend time with him? Well, for the disciples, we know that they walked with Jesus. Kids in the room, I don't know if you realize this, but 2,000 years ago was a lot of walking. There wasn't golf carts or scooters or anything like that. They walked places. You and your family, y'all may drive to Barfield Crescent Park and then get out, maybe hop on a trail and do a loop, and you're like, all right, we're done. We're calling it a day. Me and my family, sometimes we'll do things like that, or sometimes we'll walk a loop in the neighborhood, and after the loop, I'm like, all right, we got it. We got the point. We walked. We're calling it, right? But back then, that's what they did. That was their means of transportation. If they probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they didn't have parks back then, okay? But if they did, they would have to walk to the park and then walk around more. Or they would have to find an animal that would do the walking for them and ride on it to get to the park. The point is, they traveled and walked with God a lot. They were with him traveling a lot. They spent time with him, walking with him. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, it tells us that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee when he saw two brothers fishing. He saw Peter and Andrew fishing, and he said to them, he called out to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible tells us that they left their nets and their fishing things, and they followed him. They began walking with him. The disciples spent time with him. They shared meals with him. They listened to him and heard him speak and teach and preach. They heard him speak parables and teachings and hard sayings, and they were taught by him because they spent time with him. They talked with him. I can't imagine speaking to our Savior, speaking with him. We know that Jesus taught them how to pray. They heard him pray. He taught them how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, he shows them, he teaches them how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. And then in Matthew 26, we kind of see what bad friends look like. But where he asked them to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Their friend's about to lay down his life for them. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. But he asked them to pray with him. They saw him do some of the most amazing things. Kids, the disciples with Jesus, walking with him, were able to see some of the most amazing things you can imagine. They saw Jesus heal the sick. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him calm storms. I remember when I was really little, I was terrified of storms. But just thinking of the disciples in a boat on the sea and a storm coming and Jesus speaking a word and it being calm. They saw this because they were with him. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Kiddos in here, that would be kind of like if we all in here split a Lunchable and everybody was full at the end of it. It's way bigger than that, though. The disciples, while they were with Jesus, would see him raise people from the dead to life. And eventually, they would see him living a life. Well, they did see him live a life in perfect peace, in submission to the Father, in obedience, as an example to them, as an example to us, walking with him in perfect obedience, sinless obedience. And eventually, they would come to see him beaten and broken and crucified for all those who would turn to him and believe on him. And 3 days later, they would see a Days later, they would come to see a resurrected Messiah, a resurrected Christ. And they would eat with him again and walk with him again and see the resurrected Jesus face to face. The disciples were changed and shaped by his words and his actions. They were in his presence, living and walking with him daily. So, you may be asking, well, Mr. Austin, that was then, that was with them. What about now? How do I spend time with Jesus today? How do I be with him today? And I appreciate you asking that. I really do. Just like the disciples who sat under Jesus' teachings and heard his words, we can be with him today in the same ways by listening to the same words, by listening to his teachings. We have those here. We have his word living. We have the Bible. If you want to be with him today, if we want to be with him today, then we must meet him in his word. We must meet him in his word. We must sit under his word daily. Whether you're a morning person or you are a night owl, or maybe you're somewhere in between, but sometime during the day, I want to encourage you, I want to implore you, please spend time, meet with him in his word. We even have things, I utilize the ESV app sometimes, and I have his word reading. I'm just listening to it, reading over me. But meet him in his word. And just like many other things, if we don't have a plan, things don't go great. I know you can ask my wife, if she sent me to the store to get things, I don't have a list, it's not going to go great. Especially if I'm hungry, it's super not going to go great. But think about that as you look back on your 2025 and you think ahead for 2026, what is your plan for being with him in the word? Right, I encourage you to answer the questions. When are you going to read? When is the consistent time that you're going to read every day? What are you going to read? Right, there are lots of reading plans. If you go to lifept.org/Bible and just scroll down, you will see loads and loads of different reading plans that you can click on and see and have a plan, a scheduled plan. But have a plan. Know when you're going to read. Know what you're going to read. Utilize a reading plan. But get in the Word. Get in the Word. Meet with him in the Word. And memorize it. Hide it in your heart. the other way, another way to be with him today, and these are, I understand these are very practical, but we need this. We do need it. It's through time and prayer. See, prayer isn't just a religious task that we do where we treat God as some butler in the sky, and we bring all of these different requests to him, and it's just transactional. It's like, all right, see ya, I'm done. It's not a checkbox thing. Prayer is where, again, we meet with him. Meet with him. We honor him in prayer. We remember his goodness. We thank him for his goodness, the things that he has done, the things that he is doing, for who he is. We bring our sins and our failures to him. We confess to him in prayer. We pour out our hearts to him in prayer as we meet with him. And we do ask him to move. We ask him for healing. We ask him for salvation. We ask him for wisdom. We ask him for provision to provide things for us. We ask for his will to be done ultimately. But prayer is relational. It's not transactional. And if we want to be relational with him, we want to be with him, then we have to be in prayer with him. We have to meet with him in prayer. And I don't know, you may be like me. Sometimes, if you've had a conversation with me, you would know this. But sometimes my mind is like, I got like 43 tabs open and one of them's playing music and I don't know which one it is kind of deal. And it will just not even wander. It'll just sprint off to something else, right? And if you're like that, then I would encourage you to do what I do. It's been super helpful for me, is get a journal and write out your prayers. Write out you meeting with God and the things that you're thanking him for and asking him for and honoring him and glorying in him. But utilize that, the tool of a prayer journal. I think oftentimes we miss the fact, and I say this almost virtually every Wednesday night when we pray in kids' ministry. We miss the fact that we get to commune, we get to speak, we literally get to speak to the one who created, who spoke all of this into existence. The things we see, the things we can't see, with a word, he spoke it, and it was. That creator, we get to have communion, we get to have fellowship with him. We get to speak, to talk to him. That is insane. Kids, that is insane. We get to go straight to God, the Creator, the Holy One. I want to encourage you not to miss that. Don't miss that this year. Don't miss spending time with him in prayer. Another way we get to be with him is by being with his people. Just like the disciples, many times we're together with him, we're called to be together like this in the gathering. We're called to be together with him. We're called in Hebrews chapter 10, it says for us to not neglect the gathering together of each other. We gather together like this to gather for worship, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to pray with one another. I can't tell you how many times in this room, down the halls, in classrooms, all through this building, on a Sunday or Wednesday night, where people will hear something and stop and pray for someone else. They spend time together with him as a body. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to serve. We're here to serve one another. I'm just going to take a side note, just as the preschool and kids minister right here. I think you know what I'm about to say. But you need to know that we have little girls and boys who need men and women who are meeting, spending time with God in prayer, in the Word, who can then pour out onto them, who can disciple them and train them up. We need those things. And parents, we're called to do those things. We're called to be with our kids together with Christ. Here in our homes, we're called to spend time in prayer. We're called to spend time in the Scriptures. with our kids, together with him. And if that may not be a normal rhythm for you, or you're like, man, I don't know how to do that, what we just did at the beginning of the service is a great little template. Read scripture, read a Bible story to them. Pray. It can be a simple prayer. You can even, I like to sometimes ask questions. Hey, were you tracking with me on that? Did you catch that? But ask questions. But that is family discipleship together as a family with him. We can be with him together. And you guys, you realize that God desires to be with his people. Like, he desires to dwell with his people. He desires for us as his people to be with him. You can go, it's all throughout scripture. You can start at the beginning and in the garden where he walked with Adam and Eve before the fall. He was with them. He walked with them in the cool of the day. He was present with them. You can keep going through the Old Testament, the tabernacle and then the temple where God's presence would dwell with his people. And even we can jump to this Christmas where we celebrated. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He's making a way to be, to dwell with his people and for his people to dwell with us. We look at the cross and Jesus living the perfect life and giving up that life for sinners like us so that we could be forgiven for our sins and walk with him, to be with him, ultimately to be with him forever, right? In his presence forever. He desires to dwell with his people, for his people to be with him. And there's good news because we will be forever. But God ordered things. We can see in verse 14, he ordered things in such a way that his people would be with him. And then if you look at verse 14, it says they would then be sent to share Christ, to walk in obedience to him, to preach the gospel. We can't live sent and share Christ until we've found life in him, and we should be spending time with him. We can't say that we're living a life for Jesus, while at the same time we haven't really been with him. If we are okay with just going day after day after day away from him, then I think we may need to do some reassessing, some self-assessment, looking back, recalling. And I want to be very clear. I want to be super clear. Kiddos in the room, I want you to hear this. The only thing that can save us is Christ and him alone. Faith in him and who he was and what he did. There is not a certain amount of Bible reading or praying or going to church or doing good things that are good that could save us. It's Christ and him alone. We can't save ourselves. It's Christ alone. But I will say that Bible reading, meeting him in his word, meeting him in prayer, gathering with the saints, all of these things are signs. They're markers of one who does know him, who is saved. But ultimately, a life for Jesus, a life lived for Jesus, is a life spent with Jesus. A life lived for Jesus is a life spent with him. And ask the band to go ahead and come up. As a follower of Jesus, we want to spend our time and our lives with him so we can have a life and live a life that is lived sent for Jesus, proclaiming him, proclaiming his glory, walking in obedience to him, just like he walked and showed his disciples. One day, not only I, but all of us, but one day I'm going to stand before God. And I don't think he's going to be too concerned with how busy I was or how little time that I had. He's going to be concerned with how faithful I was with what I was given, how I spent the time that I was given. And maybe you're like me and you're thinking back this year and maybe years, that maybe there are areas of your life that you wish you were closer with him in. Maybe you wish you spent less time doing some things that you do and more time in the Word with him and in prayer and in the gathering. I want to encourage you. Me too. But cry out to him. Ask the Lord to stir his affections for you, for his Word, for being with him. We tend to do things we desire. Isn't that right? Maybe you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The call to you is to turn from your sin and turn to Christ, to surrender your life to him, his lordship, him being boss. We say that in kids' ministry all the time. Him being boss, your Lord over your life, and your Savior. You're trusting in his finished work on the cross for your sins, to save you from your sins. And you walk with him. You have eternal life with him now, starting today and forever. May we be a people in 2026 that can look back at our year recap next year and be found faithful because we spent time with him in the Word, in prayer, together as a people with him. I think next week as we get into our Seek Him Fast, that's going to be a great opportunity for us to maybe reprioritize or reorient things in our life, to turn away from things that maybe take up our time, to free up time to seek the better thing, to fill up time with him. We want to live a life for Jesus. We want to spend time with him. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your goodness to us. God, I'm so thankful for your Word. Your Word is truth. It's living and active. It's such a gift to us. I pray that we would not miss that gift that it is, that we could hear from you. Lord, I thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can commune with you. God, we can speak to you. We can pour our hearts out to you, the God of the universe. God, I thank you for your body, the church. God, have you designed us to not walk it through life alone, but in community. God, I ask that your Spirit would help us to examine ourselves and maybe bring conviction to areas that need conviction. God, encouragement. Would you allow us to be a people in the coming year that spends more time with you than ever before? God, would you help us to treasure you like never before? Help us to see you like never before. God, would you be glorified in us? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up.